السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Screaming Reels every Saturday morning between 8 and 9. And this week, alhamdulillah, we can say that after a very, very long time, we had some wonderful rain, alhamdulillah. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to give us rain. And Allah Rabbul Izzah grant us beneficial rain, inshaAllah. Beneficial rain. Rain that will benefit. Inshallah, something that could be in the areas that are most deserving and the catchment areas, like we would say. First, before we continue, let us welcome Adil with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sujatim all and to all our wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Adil, how's it going, Adil?
Alhamdulillah, very, very happy that, like you said, you know, the rains have come to make dua that Allah gives us beneficial rain. I mean, although the rain has come, a lot of damage also came with it in quite a few areas around the Johannesburg region. So we're making dua that Allah grants us rain, but it must be beneficial rain, inshallah. But you can see a complete change in the entire environment around you. You know, when you walk out in the morning now, the grass is very, very green. The trees are starting to, show the leaves. It's just a beautiful experience. And even there's a fresh scent in the air, you know, of fresh, plants growing and the animals and everything is chirping. And I think one of the things that surprises me the most is all the insects and the bugs are also coming out there.
100%. I was going to tell you the same thing, Adil. You know, just that scent when you come out of the house.
Yes.
It's somewhat different now. You know, before it was that pollen, that dryness. You know, you could actually sense it, you could see it, you could get that smell. But now, subhanAllah, it's just like kind of fresh. Everything is like fresh suddenly. And like we say, I think the most important thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial rain. I think important would be in the catchment areas. For us to get some good, wonderful rain. There's of course that wonderful dua that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed the ummah at the time when there is excessive rain. And this is, subhanallah, we find that the ummah, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at all times it showed the ummah some du'as to be, that should be recited, du'as for difficulty, du'as for hardship. Any case, any situation, always, always Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown the ummah a way out, and had shown the ummah du'as to be recited, so that whatever situation we may be in, whatever calamity we may be facing, or if there is any goodness that is happening to us at that time, the near Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown us what to say at that time, what to recite at that time. And subhanAllah, this is something that will always be of benefit to us, because in that dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, you see so much of wisdom. And it's not just a dua, a straightforward that you are saying, no, we don't want the rain, or the rain is not good to us, but in such a beautiful way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, oh Allah, make it plentiful and beneficial. And Nabi Kareem will say, oh Allah, let it rain around us and not on us. Let it rain on the peaks, the mountains, the rivers, the forest. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, oh Allah, Rabbul Izzah, because of your anger, don't destroy us at that time. So they were all wonderful, beautiful du'as that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us and taught us to be to recite at the time when there is so much of rain, when there is so much of hail. And these du'as we should learn, teach it to our children as well, inshallah, and let them recite it. And again, we always say, you know, I think this we would learn and appreciate again once we're out and we want to make this du'a. So now you teach your son, you teach your daughter, perhaps whilst you are in the mountainous area, whilst you are perhaps fishing, whilst you are perhaps in the valleys, Because in that whole dua you find that Nabi Kareem said, let it rain around us, not on us. Allah, on the mountains, the hills, the valleys, and the places where trees grow. And when you go out, you're going to perhaps be in those type of areas. So this would be a good time to then teach in the dua as well.
Definitely. And we make dua, inshallah, that it happens like this year. But lots of the reports that I've been looking at and getting is, shukr alhamdulillah, there's quite a good amount of rain that has been coming. Lots of areas where the dams were dried up are now, getting filled up again. There's one particular video I was watching on, I think it was Facebook yesterday, where these Afrikaans farmers were talking about how they appreciate the rain falling. And they were videoing a section on one of the rivers where there's literally hundreds and thousands of barbel trying to get and swim upstream and get into the waterways. And it's an amazing sight to see such a lot of life sort of coming back. And it's what you said when we talked about going outside and getting that fresh smell. I'm thinking of, like, after you have a good fresh ghusl, how you feel. I think the land is also showing that. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes it continue, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Anil, you know, it's something will be interesting now. We're going to be speaking to Mohammed Patel shortly. So our engineer brother Muhammad Salim, inshallah, is going to be getting hold of him. But on the other hand, with all the rain that we had in this week, I know today being, the weekend now, in terms of weather forecasts, although yes, without doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly the amount of rain, when the rain will fall, where the rain will fall. There is a beautiful dua that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make, and we find, I think Mufsab makes it on before his program as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ya'lamu adada qatr al-amtar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly the amount of drops of rain that falls on this earth. So all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in terms of weather forecast, they say that I think today is a possibility, or there's a good chance of rain. Tomorrow slightly less, and then again Monday, Tuesday again you have a lot of rain. So people perhaps looking at that and saying, okay, it's a good time to perhaps prepare something quickly for this weekend, is it?
Definitely. I know of quite a few people that have actually gone out to their rivers, etc. One particular family is the Suleimans that have gone out to Willow Express, probably just to go and have an idea of what type of rainfall did they receive in that particular area. I remember going to quite a few fishing spots in the last couple of weeks and noticing how dry the land really is.
Yes.
Around the area. So definitely a welcome sight, and I think a lot of people are planning to go out this weekend, although maybe many people will just sort of wait it out until the rains subside. We know that when we have a lot of rain water falling and a lot of flooding of the catchment areas, etc., it picks up a lot of the silt and basically the dirt from the bottom. Many fishermen say that this creates a lot of feed in the water for fish, so they sort of become a little bit more active. But we also need to look in terms of safety and precautions that need to be taken when it comes to these type of flooding areas. Sometimes you'll be in an area where you'll find the water is relatively low, not realizing that there's a huge amount of water that's probably coming from another area into that area. So rather be safe than sorry. If you're doing fly fishing or if you're doing rapid fishing, try and make sure that you know what the water level before stepping into the water, even though you have a wader and a stick, etc. Make sure that you are careful. A few years back we did have a tragedy where two young brothers were swept off their feet, when they were in quite shallow water, but because of the current being so strong, it ended in a tragedy. So we also ask people that rather be safe. This weather also brings about other factors apart from the flooding. You've got lightning. Many of us fish with graphite rods, which have the huge attractants to lightning, etc. So these are issues that you need to just take into consideration before rushing reaching out and going to the water areas. Make sure you do your homework. Find out about the area, how much of water it has received, whether there's flooding, etc., so that you know, you can keep yourself safe, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Right, we got Brother Muhammad Patel with us on the line. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam to you, Mulana Adil, and all the listeners of Radio Islam.
How are you doing, Muhammad?
Alhamdulillah, okay, yourself?
Alhamdulillah. Muhammad, you know, we were just speaking now. You must have just heard now myself and Adlu speaking, of course, the rains that we had in the last week. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial rain and good rain. But then we said that this weekend, according to weather reports, but again we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. According to weather reports, they say that the rain will subside, I think, for tomorrow only, or perhaps to the end tomorrow, and then back on Monday, Tuesday. In terms of fishing, how does this affect now the fisherman or his plans for this weekend? And we're not only talking of the dam, like Adil was saying, of course, river-wise also you've got to be very, very careful.
From what I know in past experiences, when you have, especially rivers, in flood or heavy, how can I say, water entering from all different small tributaries. Typical example, you know, if you're looking at the Vaal River, where we stay in Indonesia, we're having the Klip River fill up with water, we're having the Sacred Bos River filling up with water, and it'll all gush down into the Vaal River itself, not into the Vaal Dam. Now what happens there, what we've seen was in the past, the water comes on so fast that it churns up all that mud. And to a certain extent, it's a good thing for certain areas, but it's also a very bad thing, because when the water churns up like that, it becomes so muddy that it depletes all the oxygen in the water. And you find a lot of fish will die from that in certain areas, because some of the deposits on the floor of the river, you find like you have dangerous deposits, like you know, the sewer deposits, mercury content, and you know, a whole lot of different type of dangerous stuff that settle on the floor of the river, you know, in between the mud. So what happens is when it churns up the water, it depletes all the oxygen levels. And we found, like in previous years, we did a competition, the ones on the Vaal River, and the water was like really flowing, which I never seen in a while. Because if you look at also the thing is, which section of the Vaal River I'm talking about, from the Weir, which is around the Samgras area, going right down to the barrage area. That's where a lot of your boating and stuff takes place. So the river is quite wide there, and you don't really see the water flowing, you know. And we had that wide river, wide section of the river actually flowing, and the only area we could find fish was the area which formed what we call eddies. Now eddies are basically pockets and big holes in amongst the reeds that basically filter off all the dirt and all the mud that's flowing, and fish were just attracted to those eddies because they were slightly clear the water with a bit of oxygen content. So it was like easy for competitors and people that were experienced in knowing where to find these fish, because they would all, you know, just bunch up against these small pockets in the reeds where the water was getting filtered, put it like that. And yeah, and that's how we found fish. Another example would be in a dam. People love like the river areas of a dam and the river sections of a dam. I'll give you a typical example of a dam called Renosterkop. I'm sure you guys must be familiar with that dam.
Sure.
Renosterkop, we had water flowing like years ago coming into the dam from the river section, and when we went up to the river section, it was chocolate brown, and you know, you find everybody that rode up to the river section would look at the quality of the water and just make a U-turn and go back into the main dam, because all the water was feeding into the river. And that would be our favorite areas to fish. Why? Because we knew that the rest of the world would just be running away from the river because of the quality and the color of the water, what we would do is then go into the shallower waters and find thick weed that would actually filter off the brown water. And just behind that weed, you'd find small deep pools which was filtered and the water was clear. And then we found best in all those areas, you know, in the dam, just by looking for the areas that were filtered off from the main river, you know. And it was so easy to find and locate fish like that. Sometimes we would get out in the dam and catch 50 or 60 bass for the day, just coming into those areas, those type of areas. So yeah, it's a plus and it's a minus, but overall, shukr alhamdulillah, we all glad that we're having some good rain, really needed rain, you know, apart from any from everything else.
Definitely.
Mohammed, in terms of, I mean, what you guys are talking about, finding the pockets, etc., were you talking about using the boat for this, or were you talking about bank fishing?
Even bank fishing, you'll see, especially in the river, if you watch the river and you see the way the current's flowing, I used to do this when I used to fish for yellowfish in the streams. You find if you're standing in the water in the river, for example, it's not such, how can I say, you get certain sections of the river past the barrage that's not really deep, even if it rained a lot and the water is flowing, certain areas on the river, the water wouldn't rise that fast because why, you've got a deeper section to that. You'll find that you get these boulders and big rocks that break the water around it, and then you'll find the yellowfish would sit behind that because the mud and the current is basically too heavy for them to handle. And then also that area behind the rock, you always see a slight difference in water color when the river's coming down, like in flood. And even from the bank, the same thing from the bank. If you're looking at the dam, okay, obviously you find people wouldn't now be able to access the river mouths and things like that by car or by foot in most of the dams. So obviously that would be, I can say, it would be out for them to fish. But on the main dam, you wouldn't find the water being discolored so quickly as compared to you know, the river section of the dam. So anyway, in the main dam, I think you'll still be okay. And the rain, obviously, is so beneficial when it comes to oxygenating the water. You always find during a rain and after a rain, the fish are all jumping and going crazy, whatever, because the oxygen that the rain has brought into the water has actually made them really active, you know.
I myself, Mohammed, I'm actually going this weekend here to the river. It's more of a family get together type of a thing. But of course, if you are on the river, then you're gonna grab the rods and take them with you. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So at least you've got now that advice, mashallah, to look for those eddies, as Mohammed said, and maybe tackle that there.
I'm gonna be in Port actually, Mohammed, by Oor Nebo actually.
Yeah, well, Oor Nebo is even fine. A lot of people think there's no bass there. There is bass all over that river section. You always find, especially in Oor Nebo, you'll find the center flowing like really fast, and you look at the right near the edge, you'll find one or two deeper pools, but it almost looks like the water's standing still. Those fish hang around in those areas.
Mohammed, in terms of boating now and this sort of weather, this flooding, etc., what sort of precautions should boaters take?
The main precaution boaters should take is, look, as everybody knows, the flooding we had around the Johannesburg area, you know, I mean, that was a space of maybe an hour of rain or something like that. It poured so heavily that our stormwater drains couldn't keep up with the amount of water that was coming down. Similarly with a boat, you have to make sure that your flotation is in order, number one. The only way to do that is have it checked by any boat shop. Make sure your flotation is 100%, because if you have a downpour like that on the water, and your flotation is not in check, the amount of weight in terms of water coming into the boat is going to be too much too quick. And if you don't have adequate flotation, what we call buoyancy fitted in the boat, your boat can flip and sink very easy. I'm talking in a matter of like 10 minutes.
Moment before you get on there, I'm going to ask you a very stupid question. Is it, or are boats designed to sort of get rid of water that's sort of coming from rain? Do they have sort of outlets, etc., built in or on top of the boat where it drains the water? I mean, obviously, you don't plan for like a heavy storm when you're on the water. Sometimes you might be too far from the land to get back in time, and you find yourself stuck in the middle of this very, very heavy downpour. Do you have to sit with a bucket there and start taking the water out, or are boats basically designed to drain themselves?
Look, I was getting to that point.
Okay.
We have two types of boats. Basically two types of boats that you can actually get into the dam with. One would be a ski boat, which is an offshore boat, normally either a single or double hull. They are designed and made with what we call a wet deck. A wet deck is a deck, your deck on the boat is basically sealed off from the hull, which is the bottom part of the boat. And when it's designed to take waves over the top, and once it comes onto the deck, it just flows up through the back, through holes. We have special fittings called scuppers. Those scuppers allow for the water just to flow out. That's the one type of boat. The other type of boat would be your normal pleasure boat, your bass boat. There, what we do is, and what I advise all the listeners out there is, we always have standard, what we call, bilge pumps fitted. You know, you get them in 500 gallons per hour, going right up to 2,000 gallons per hour. I always advise guys to have at least two bilge pumps fitted for an emergency case. Like I was caught in a storm once on the Vaal Dam. And the Vaal Dam, I tell you, is no joke. It can topple even a big ski boat, and you think it's not possible. That place becomes wild, like an ocean. And luckily, we had two bilge pumps fitted in there. And all we done was during the storm, we had heavy winds. So we just faced into the wind and trimmed the motor slightly to make the nose of the boat go up just a little bit. And what that would do is bring all the water to the back end of the boat, and we put the bilge pumps on. And Sukar, I mean, I think we rode about 10 k's or 14 k's coming all the way from Oranjeville right to Deniseville, you know, on the water during the storm. And yeah, alhamdulillah, we were safe. The reason why they always want a bailing bucket in your when you're doing your certificate of fitness, they need a bailing bucket on board. A lot of people think, ah, you know what, why must we have a bailing bucket when we've got a bilge pump? I've been in a situation where I had my bilge pump fail on me. Not that we needed it, but we left the bung plug out, which is your drain plug on your boat, one day, and we were probably about 4 kilometers out on the water, and we didn't have a bailing bucket. And the guys were starting to use their shoes and whatever they can just to scoop out the water while somebody jumps in the water and fits the plug in, you know, instead of having the boat filled up with water. So, yes, even a small bailing bucket, it doesn't have to be something hideous and big, but something that can scoop up water just in case your bilge pumps fail and everything else fails, you know, while you're on the water. That's one of the biggest reasons why they have a bailing bucket.
If you're in a situation whilst at the water and you find perhaps a storm like this has picked up, I mean, the one that probably came on Thursday or Wednesday it was, if you feel now perhaps you don't have that confidence to ride your boat out of this situation, or you feel that your motor is not big enough, would it be rather than advisable to just then get to the closest shore and see out the storm?
If you're going to dock, if you're going to get to the closest shore, be prepared for your boat to basically sink halfway or sink to, you know, where the back end goes down to the bottom, because the shore is the most dangerous place to be during a storm, because you're having, especially in a dam, you're having all those big waves breaking onto the shore. And then you don't want to be near those big waves. Or rather, you ride. It's almost like being in the ocean, you know, where the beach starts. Right. You're getting the bigger waves that break over as the as you get out on the water, and then once you pass what we call the breaker line, you know, you don't have those rolling waves that break over the boat, because we've seen and we've experienced guys launching at Sedwana and St. Lucia, and are not experienced boaters, first-time boaters, and then, you know, they don't get advice or help from other boaters that, hey, don't go out in this weather because these breakers here are very difficult to ride through or whatever, because they're coming so quick. What I mean is, you know, you're having one breaker in 1 second and the next second another breaker. So it's very difficult to maneuver through those breakers, especially when you're trying to get out at sea. And the guys that topple their boats very, very, very easy. I think they come halfway through the brake line and, you know, the boat flips or topples over because they're not experienced to ride those waves, number one, and the boats are not adequate, and to make it all safe, rather not even go out at that time when you have that situation. But for me personally, I've been, even I think the last storm we've been out was at the Warp Dam. I told my partners, come, I think it's time we move because that storm is coming really fast. And we came right to the shore, and my partner with me, he jumped into the car reversing, and as he was reversing, he couldn't do anything because it came down so heavy, you couldn't even see like a couple of centimeters in front of you. And all I did was I put my safety lights on, my navigation lights, and I went back out into the open. I put my boat phones on and my rain suit, and I was 100% fine, you know, just keeping the nose of the boat into the wind, putting the boat pumps on and just waiting the storm out. And when the storm subsided, I seen there was a boat that flipped. That obviously was right next to the nearby the shore, about 15, 20 meters away from the shoreline, and he probably wasn't experienced, number one, to handle that storm or to maneuver his boat you know, into the wind, and he flipped his boat like in a couple of seconds.
Sure.
I think basically what we're learning from this lesson, obviously, is in a storm like that where you are on the dam. Now, I'm putting the sea aside because we basically mainly in Gauteng, the guys are doing the dam fishing. If you take a dam like the Vaal Dam, like you say, which is a huge amount of water, and you find yourself in the middle of the dam fishing, and then suddenly the storm comes up, it's not advisable basically to just stay in one spot, rather move at a very slow pace, putting the bulb pumps on and waiting out the storm.
Correct, 100%. Look, the Vaal Dam has a lot of marinas which you can take safety from, but just depending where you are on the dam to be able to get to one of those marinas. The main thing I can tell all the listeners out there is the biggest troublemaker, the biggest problem in a situation is panic. Don't ever panic. Whatever it is, if it's hailing, if it's raining like mad, the minute you start panicking, you got a problem. Because then you start doing stupid things, you're not focusing on what you're doing, and you're nervous, and these things take place in a matter of seconds. You're not going to wait out half an hour for your boat to flip. You're talking 10, 15 seconds, and your boat's toppled or you flipped.
Mohammed, is there any way, perhaps, you know, babe? Okay. Adil, go Adil.
No, I say he's moving at a high speed. Because you see, the thing is that you start to panic. Maybe you've got your light is in the boat with you, etc. And you feel very, very, anxious now when you see the weather suddenly just drops buckets on you. And suddenly you decide, hey, the best thing for me to do is just get out of here quickly. So in that case, I think putting the high speed on your boat and trying to cut through and move as fast as you can wouldn't be a very good idea.
Look, depending on the current situation, as an experienced skipper, one needs to assess the current weather situation. Can my boat handle the situation? I've been in a situation where I just didn't have time for it, and I said, okay, let me put the hammer down and move. And I knew my boat was good enough to handle that situation, and basically I just put the throttle down and moved, because also maneuvering through the waves. You can't just run a straight line and think, okay, you're going to be fine. The wind's blowing from different directions. The waves are rolling in one direction. Your boat's moving in another direction. So you got to assess that as well and take that into consideration. But in a really wild situation where the waves are like, you know, crazy, and then you think, okay, you know, you're going to run at high speed, you can run through a wave. I've seen this time and time where guys just put the throttle down and think, all right, you know, now I need to get away from here. They ran basically through a wave because at high speed, when your boat's basically almost out of the water and you have the boat almost trying to climb a big wave, and when it comes down, you know, you have another big wave waiting for you, and your nose is down, obviously, and that wave hits right over the front and can cause real havoc. So I would say assess the situation and see first before you want to move at high speed in really rough weather.
Well, what about tying oneself, Muhammad? You know, many times, okay, of course, now this, if you're doing more your bream, your kerpa fishing or things like that, and now you're in your boat and you kind of anchored one spot, and then the wind now kind of picks up. Do you give yourself some sort of slack, or do you untie yourself totally? What are the risk factors like that?
Whenever you're anchoring yourself against a tree, always leave a bit of gap with the rope from the tree to the boat, and try and anchor with the nose facing into the direction of the wind. So what will happen is the waves will keep on pushing the nose up. If you have to anchor the other direction and anchor as close as possible to the tree, meaning now you're anchoring your nose into the tree and the wind is blowing from the back, you're obviously going to get water and wind blowing from the back, and you're going to have water filling through the back, you know. So always try to keep, even when you anchor, give it a couple of meters away from a tree. And obviously the rope will act like a shock absorber. So what will happen is when the wave hits, when the wind blows towards the nose of the boat and the wave picks the nose up, you've got that play with the rope. You know, it acts almost like a shock absorber. So it pushes the boat up and keeps it there and drops it again and keeps it there. You understand what I'm saying? So you need to give it that little bit of play in order not to have yourself, you know, in trouble there.
Extremely important advice there given by Mohammed Patel with regards to the boat, etc. We appreciate, obviously, the fact is that we don't take into consideration many a times, you know, what sort of weather we are going to experience. And this time of the year where you have these sudden thunderstorms that just come out of nowhere, or you have these flash floods that just pitch up, you know, on the riverbank where you're fishing, and suddenly the water level starts to rise. You know, it's extremely important to obviously take care and to have safety precautions. Normally, just before you know, we break, what about your basic you know, safety items that you should have considering the weather? I mean, you said you went out into the storm, you basically waited it out, and you had your gear with you in terms of your rain jackets, etc. You know, what should people be packing in their boats?
Number one, always make sure that you have an extra top or jacket, you know, to put on underneath your rain jacket. And don't always buy a rain jacket that just fits you, because I've been in a situation where I've been in the water, and being, you know, fishing crazy as we are, we wouldn't even worry about the storm or anything that's coming, you know. We've been in a hail situation while on the water. And the only thing that helped was a thick top all around, and I wouldn't say a hard hat, but a nice hat that's got a sturdy top. And what helped us even more was we had spare life jackets, so we would have our thick clothes on, the raincoat over, and the life jacket over that, and another life jacket used to take shelter under, because I mean that hail is not funny when you're in the water. Ouch, it gives you it's like torture, you know. You can really get hiding from that hail. You'll come home, it almost looks like you got pimples in your face, but those are actually, you know, you basically got hail damage. You know, and that's not a funny situation, I can tell you that. So pack an extra life jacket if you can, some tops, most importantly, life jacket. Make sure the quality of life jacket you got is a good quality life jacket, because if anything does happen, you want to stay afloat. A lot of people buy these non-SABS life jackets, and they actually used a ski vest, not as a life jacket. They meant to make you float for a certain amount of time before it takes in a lot of water. Because these most of these life jackets are made of foam, they've got a foam inside them, and if you have a poor or inferior quality life jacket, they can soak up water after a time and get heavier, and then you wouldn't be able to float anymore with the thing if you are in that particular situation. Another small piece of advice before I go off the topic was those bank anglers that camp at the dam. They're experiencing weather like this. Never ever camp right near the water's edge. Always give yourself at least about 30 meters, I would say, 30-40 meters from the water's edge, because we've been in situation, even bank angling dams like Bloemhof, a couple of other dams in the country, where we've camped just in front of the water, like 5 meters from the water, because we want to see our rods and see what's happening, and the next morning we're sleeping in water. Because the water's come up so much. So that's another safety point for those bank anglers. Don't always camp too close to the water.
This life jacket issue anymore, that's like perhaps you would say it's like another whole topic on its own, you know, the sort of the type of life jacket you need, perhaps the manner you're wearing it, when to utilize it, how to utilize it on its own.
Yes, it is, but it's not really that complicated, because, you know, you get these orange-colored life jackets that they use out in the ocean. A lot of people don't like them because they're really ugly and they're very uncomfortable, and you don't want to wear them in inland on the dams. Those are by far one of the most or the safest life jackets that you can find. You get other life jackets that have what we call... trying to get the word for it. Well, they've got these air canisters in the life jacket, so the minute it senses water, it will basically let the canister release air, and it will inflate the life jacket. I like those life jackets, but I've seen those life jackets fail as well, so I wouldn't say they're bad, and I wouldn't say, you know, they're
the best.
In fact, there's so many brands of those now hitting the market that you don't know which is actually a good life jacket there. But, you know, today we've got the internet, so there's so many sites that we can find out more information and get some reviews on the different life jackets and, you know, the different situations that people have been in and experiences. I mean, we had an experience where a little child had a life jacket like that. But they basically had it too high up and didn't have it strapped on properly. And they fell overboard, and they were basically toppled from the life jacket. So what happened was the life jacket went further down towards the waist area, and it lifted them up from the waist area. So what happened was their head was down. You know, and that can be a big problem. And even with the normal life jackets, majority of the anglers and the boaters out there wear the ski vest, which I do myself. I've got a SABS ski life jacket. Make sure that thing is strapped properly, because remember, you've got 75 or 80 kilos jumping into the water, and this life jacket's holding you up. It's pushing up, so you're working force down and up, you know. If that thing is not strapped properly, it's not going to save your life, or it's not going to help you in the water. You know, you find a lot of people take kids on board, and they put bigger life jackets on for them because they can't find that particular size. And that becomes a problem, because when they get into the water, the life jacket pushes up, but they're basically falling through the life jacket. You see,
the life jacket is one side, the child is one side.
Correct.
Okay, Muhammad, I think for today we're going to have to leave it as that. Perhaps we still do have 1 or 2 minutes. Perhaps anything else, maybe like one of the most important rules that you would say in terms of safety before going out on the waters or going out fishing after this sort of weather?
All I can say is, number one, when launching, certain dams, certain venues don't have you know, a proper launching areas, and you find anglers always been launching from the side without any 4x4s, and they wouldn't have any problem, you know, at any other time of the year. With this rain coming down like this, it's going to create like heavy mud. So, you know, it can make things difficult when launching, number one. You can get bogged down really seriously in the mud. That and going out, I think, above all, just make sure that you're safe, you do things safe. Don't, as much and as excited as you are to get onto the water, just make sure that, number one, your bung plug, the drain plug of your boat is in, and all your safety equipment is on board. Make sure, if you can, try and have one area on the boat that is basically dry. Even if it's a small compartment, you know, something where you can put your cell phone in case of a crazy storm. You don't want to have your phone water damage and you're stuck, you know, 15 Ks away from the launch, and now you don't have flares or you don't have any safety equipment to help you. So try and allocate or try and have a dry hatch area on your boat, either made or designed, you know, for your boat, so you can always have things like your car keys, your phone, and valuables that are really important. I mean, I've had guys topple their boats and lost their car keys.
I think that's a good idea. Also, a lot of guys use these Ziploc bags to put it in and then put it into the dry hatch as well.
Correct. You can do that 100%. The Ziploc bags work perfect. You know, two most important things I think on board in terms of having it still stowed away would be your car keys and your cell phone. Otherwise, you can't phone for help, number one. Number two is when you do get into the launch and you don't have car keys, you're in a big problem, especially with these newer cars. I don't think there's a way we can hotwire those cars or get those cars to move, you know, without having a key. It's a bit of a problem.
Ahmed, jazakumullah so much for your time for the wonderful program. We'll catch up with you inshallah soon.
Always a pleasure, my brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
I really know now with the clock we got in the studio, I can tell you in terms of seconds even, you know what I'm saying? So it's right now, it's actually 8:59 and 5 seconds. So you basically got like 55 seconds left. I can't even tell you 1 minute anymore.
Is Faisal breathing down your neck already?
Yeah, no, he's not in today.
Oh, okay.
He's not in our news for today. I don't see the...
Maybe...
Oh, Manawaja is around today.
Oh, okay. It was a very informative program, Alhamdulillah, especially with regards to safety. Please, again, to all our listeners out there, you're going out on the water, whether it's on the boat or on the bank.
Definitely.
Make sure you are safe. You know, take the necessary precautions. If the weather doesn't look too good to you, rather take shelter and wait it out. Don't try and fish in the storm.
Of course. Don't ever try to be a hero. You end up with a zero. Just a few seconds left. Just a few seconds left before we wrap up. Like you said, I think very important, safety, safety, safety. You're going out to enjoy yourself. Always respect nature, respect the waters, and don't try anything that is funny. Adil, jazakumullah once again for your time, for the wonderful program. Inshallah, we'll catch up with you next week, Saturday.
Inshallah. Next week, Saturday, report back from Ur Nibal.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa barakatuh, Sajjad Timol, and to all our wonderful listeners.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.